Well, good. I'm glad somebody told you. Did he tell you to order the offering envelopes too? Oh, well. All right, Job chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 2. Job 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, start at verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And now down to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's bow our hearts now in a word of prayer. God and Father, again we do thank you for Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning, looking to your word, and we just pray that as we do, we will be edified and encouraged. And we will give Jesus Christ all the praise for it, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, we're looking at these two passages to start. We're really going to spend most of our time this morning in the book of Ephesians, but this is a good way to start into this topic. We're going to look at the dimensions of God's grace, the dimensions of the mystery of his love, and comparing these two passages gives us a good starting point, as I said. If you look in Job chapter 11, Zophar is answering Job here. We know, if you know the background of Job, Job has all these problems, trials, tribulations, and these, you know, I've read different books that they talk about Job's miserable comforters, people that come to him to try to provide comfort and encouragement, and they end up, you know, just making it worse, not giving him anything. Zophar is one of these people that come, and Job, in trying to understand why all this is happening, these questions are asked in beginning in verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? And then he says about God, it is high as heaven, what canst thou do? Excuse me, deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. So the early in Scripture, these questions are asked. Job is probably the first book written in your Bible, certainly one of the earliest, probably the first. And these questions are asked, can you, by searching, find out God? Can you find out the Almighty under perfection? And then it asks about God, you know, well, the answer there that Zophar is giving is, no, it's too high, it's too deep, it's too broad, it's too long. It's high as heaven, deeper than hell, it's the length thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. There's no way you can understand God and understand what he's doing, understand his thoughts, understand his purposes, understand his plans. Thank you.
Is it? Oh, it's water. Okay, that's good.
No, I wondered if it was hot coffee. I didn't want to burn my poor sensitive mouth. You know, I didn't want to burn my mouth. I wasn't thinking she, you know, did anything nasty in my glass or anything. But oh, and you know the joke, right? This is proof that a grace preacher knows what to do with water. You drink it. You don't dump it over people. So, all right. Well, of course, Bernie's sitting back there looking. Hit Bernie. So the questions are asked in Job. Can you understand God? That's basically the root of these questions. Can you understand God? The answers Job getting is, no, you really can't understand God. He's too high, he's too deep, he's too broad, he's longer than the earth. And can you, by searching, can you search out man's wisdom? Can you search out information that will help you understand God? Now, thousands of years later, the Apostle Paul is going to write a passage in Ephesians chapter 3. And interestingly enough, Paul uses that same term, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's interesting that all the way back in the book of Job, you have a question asked, canst thou by searching find out God? So, and the answers given there in Job are, no, you can't search him out. And Paul, thousands of years later, is going to write a verse that says, I'm revealing to you the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those things that are unsearchable, those things that you can't find out, those things that you can't figure out about God, those things that you can't know about God by searching and by just human experience and knowledge, I'm revealing those things to you. And as Paul does that, when he gets down to verse 18, he goes back to those dimensions mentioned back in the book of Job. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I want you to understand the breadth of the mystery. If you go up there, I should have read this while we were there, up to verse 9. Part of having the unsearchable riches of Christ revealed in verse 9 is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So in revealing that mystery, Paul is revealing the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. The whole focus back in the book of Job is you can't know. The focus here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend, that you would understand. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, that you would know the love of Christ. So in Job, the questions are asked and the answers are given that you can't know. You can't know how high, you can't know how deep, you can't know how broad, you can't know how long. In Ephesians, the same questions are answered. Here's how high, here's how deep, here's how broad, here's how long. And in fact, in Paul's epistles, in the revelation of the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery, you'll find the answers to those questions. The things that Job couldn't know and that Job couldn't search out, we can search out because they're revealed in God's Word. We have something Job didn't have. What Job didn't have was the completed Word of God. What Job didn't have was God's full revelation of himself to man. And as we talk about this morning and talk about Ephesians chapter 3 here, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that one of the things that's unique about your Bible and unique about, you know, what the world would call the Judeo-Christian thought patterns or whatever, is that we have a God, especially those of us that understand right division, that reveals himself to us. Most religion is based on having a God that is sort of separated and alienated, and you really can't know him or her or it or whatever it might be, and you really can't approach them, and you really can't understand. The whole point of Scripture, the whole point of your Bible from cover to cover, is that God is putting himself before you. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, because it is his life in that book. And the thing about that book that makes it unique is just that it is a living book. It is his life put before you. It is God revealing himself to you. And those questions that Job couldn't answer and those questions that so troubled him, canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? Can you perfectly know him? Now, he's too high, he's too deep, he's too broad, he's too long. How can you get your finite mind around an infinite God? Those questions are answered in a book. In the pages of your book and your Bible, those questions are laid bare. God is laid bare. Here I am. Look, search me out. Find me in the pages of this book. And Paul does that in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go there now to Ephesians 3 and just look at those four dimensions. Understand what it is that Paul's telling us. And remember, this is Paul telling us the extent of God's purpose, the extent of God's plan, the extent of the fellowship of the mystery, the extent of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. How can you know something? That verse, verse 18 in chapter 3 there of Ephesians, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, if you just think about that sentence, I want you to know something that passes knowledge. Does that even make any sense? Just in the in the physical realm. I want you to know about something that passes knowledge. I want you to understand something that can't be understood. Well, then what's the point? Paul's saying, I want you to know the love of Christ. These things I'm revealing, the fellowship of the mystery, and the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of that mystery and God's plan and God's purpose will allow you to know the thing and search out the thing that Job couldn't know and couldn't search out. It will allow you to know the love of Christ and to know the depth of His love and His mercy and His grace and His care for us. When you understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height and comprehend that, you'll then know the love of Christ. So let's just go through these. I want you to know the breadth. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. What is the breadth of the mystery, the breadth of God's plan, the breadth of His love? Well, in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now, what's He say there? Well, in verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And what are those things in earth and things in heaven? Well, in the context of the passage, we've looked before it, when you see all things in a passage, oftentimes the all things is defined by the context of the passage. And if you go back up to verse 16, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. And then He's going to list those things, visible and invisible, that were created by Him in the context of this passage, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. So the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, the powers, all of those were created by Him. They were all created before Him. By Him they consist. And through the cross, through the blood of His cross, all of those things are going to be reconciled unto Him. That is, all the principalities and powers and authorities in heaven and in earth will be brought under His authority, under His dominion. If you look back to the book of Philippians, he says it this way in chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, verse 9, has highly exalted Him, given Him a name above every name. Verse 10, at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the breadth, how much of the universe will come under the control and the authority and dominion of Jesus Christ. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, we've talked about those three distinctions in the past, all come under the authority and the dominion of Jesus Christ. So when you say, how broad is God's purpose? How broad is God's plan? Is there any part of the universe that won't be affected by God's plan? Is there any part of the universe that's not affected by the revelation and the fellowship of the mystery? Is there any part of the universe that's unaffected by the love of Christ? And the answer to that is no. I want you to know and to comprehend and to understand the breadth of the mystery, the breadth of God's purpose, the breadth of God's plan, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some by faith, some by sight, but the goal is that the universe, heaven and earth, be brought under the authority, the dominion, the power, the reign of Jesus Christ, and that He be all in all. So, the breadth of God's plan, Job says, or Zophar says to Job, you can't, you know, it's broader than the heavens. You can't understand the breadth of God's plan. And it really is not till you get to the revelation of the mystery that you understand that, you know, God's plan is not just to establish dominion and authority and a kingdom on the earth, but God's plan is to establish a dominion and authority and a kingdom in earth and in heaven. Go back to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Then the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. He might gather together in one all things, both what? Which are in heaven and which are on earth. And what is that? That is, verse 9, the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will is Paul revealing the breadth of God's plan, that it is all-encompassing. When we talk about breadth, we can use it in a couple different ways. We can talk about how wide my stomach is, you know, or we can talk about, I won't talk about how wide other things are in this room, so that's all right? So just don't laugh too hard about my stomach, you know, unless you're willing to, you know, put up. So anyhow, or we can talk about something being all-encompassing. You know, the breadth of God's love is all-encompassing. We're not saying how wide it is in a major, you know, it's 2 feet wide, but we're saying that it's all-encompassing. And God's purpose and God's plan is all-encompassing. The breadth of it is that it is the heavens and the earth, and even the things under the earth will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Paul, what Job couldn't understand was that there's a whole realm out there in the heavenlies that is going to be brought under his control and his authority through a group of people not even yet born called the Church of the Body of Christ that he knew nothing about. And Job couldn't have understood that. And you couldn't search it out. Even if you had the Old Testament, you couldn't search that out. You couldn't figure it out. You certainly couldn't figure it out in the writings of men. But Paul says, you know, I was sent to reveal to the Gentiles those unsearchable riches. Those things that couldn't be searched out and figured out and found out before about God, here they are. And with a complete book, with Genesis to Revelation, you can search out God. You can understand the breadth of what he's trying to accomplish, and the breadth not of what he's trying to accomplish, but of what he will accomplish and what he has accomplished through Jesus Christ. So I want you to know the breadth, and I want you to know the length. Now, length is another thing that can be determined in inches, but it also can be determined in time. And if you look at the passage back there in Job, it says, the measure thereof is longer than the earth. The measure thereof is longer than the earth. The measure of God is longer than the earth, which means that God existed before the earth, he will exist after the earth. So the measure of God in a measure of time is longer than the earth. So what is the length? Well, go back, if you're in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. When is he going to finish this plan, this program? In dispensation of the fullness of times. When time is no more, when time is full, when we're in what we call eternity future, which is kind of a misnomer because how can eternity have a future? But when time is no more, when time is full, when all of God's program is accomplished, then it will be fulfilled. If you look to Titus chapter 1, Paul says it this way in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when? Before the world began. So the promise of eternal life came before there was life. That is life as we know it, as we understand it, physical life. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, in hope of eternal life, hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Notice verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word in due times. Now, in more recent times, he's manifested that word. He's manifested that truth through preaching. What preaching? Well, the preaching which is committed unto me, Paul says. So again, this information that God determined before the world began is being manifested, is being made known through Paul's preaching, through the fellowship of the mystery, through the revelation of the mystery, through the Gentiles might know the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul is revealing that information. So it's before the world began is when it started. After, if you go over to 2 Peter, Peter is going to talk about in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, why can't you understand God? Well, because he's longer than the earth. Because the things and the plans and the purposes that he set in motion before the world began. And the fulfillment of those plans and those purposes is going to come with a new earth after the first earth is passed away. So if your existence is limited to this physical earth realm now, how are you going to know stuff about what happened before the world even was, or stuff that's going to happen after this world is gone? Well, somebody's going to have to explain it to you, because you're not going to search it out on your own. How can you, by searching, find out God? No, you can't. But if someone were to reveal to you the unsearchable things, then you would know. And it's Paul that comes along to fulfill the Word of God, to complete the Word of God, and to reveal the unsearchable, to reveal that information that can't be found out, to reveal what God's purpose was before the world began, and to explain how that purpose is going to be fulfilled in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when there is a new, not only a new earth, but a new heaven. And in that new heaven and in that new earth dwelleth righteousness. And there's no more sea. And what does that mean, that there's no more sea? We've talked about that in the past. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no more sea. Well, all of that is, I started a plan back here before the world began. I'm going to accomplish that plan out here after the present world is gone. And I'm revealing to you myself, God says. I'm revealing myself. This is what I'm doing. We do not serve a God that doesn't want us to understand. And, you know, most religions of the world and a substantial amount of Christianity is based on we can't understand. You know, every time a tornado destroys a trailer park in the Midwest, they interview the local Baptist preacher, and what does he say? We can't know why God allows these things to happen. Yeah, yeah, but we know all things work together for good, so we're looking for the good. Well, we don't serve a God that doesn't want us to know. And that we have to just say, well, there's some good in it. I guess we serve a God that wants us to know. And knowing, knowing what he's doing begins with knowing him, who he is, what his purpose is, what his plan is, knowing his love, knowing his mercy, knowing his justice, knowing all of that about him then helps us to understand, so what is he doing? Because if you know who a person is, you know their character, you know their nature, then you're going to have a good indication of what they're going to do in a given situation, right? If you know somebody that you've known for 30 years and a situation comes up, you're going to have an idea of, I know what that person's going to do because I've known them for 30 years and I've seen them in this kind of situation before, and so I know what they're going to do. So if you know God and you know his person, then you're going to know about what he's doing. Just like if you know a person in the flesh, you have an idea what they're going to do. And God wants you to know him and therefore know what he's doing. And he explains to you what he's doing. He explains to you his person and he explains to you what he's doing. Here's the breadth of what I'm doing. It's all encompassing. It reaches to every part of my universe, every part of my creation. I've been planning it since before the world began, and I will fulfill that plan after the world is no more in the dispensation of the fullness of times. I want you to know the depth.
Back in Job, it says, well, you can't know God. It's deeper than hell and it's higher than heaven. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Matthew 12 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes, of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the Son of Man is going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And we've talked about this extensively in the past, so we're not going to go through all that again this morning. Hopefully you have it in your frame of reference. The Son of Man going to the heart of the earth. Acts chapter 2, Peter talks about that in fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jesus Christ dies, he goes to hell, the place of the dead. We've looked at the character, the nature in hell, paradise and torments. Jesus Christ descends to hell. The meaning of that, it's deeper than hell. So what's that mean? Well, if hell is the place of the dead, then what do you have to do to get there?
Die.
See how hard it is to study the Bible? If hell is the place of the dead, then what you have to do to get there is die. So when we say that God's plan is as deep as hell, or deeper than the lowest hell, what are we saying? We're saying that God's plan and God's purpose involved death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Death. Even the death of the cross. So when we say, it's not a reference to the fact at all that Jesus Christ is going to go to hell and suffer the flames of hell and all that kind of hoo-ha. It's about death. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is going to become a man, and as a man, he's going to humble himself and become obedient unto death. And God's purpose and God's plan required Jesus Christ to taste of death, the most humbling experience that you can have, isn't it? Is your own mortality. I mean, what's more an indication of your frailty than your own death? I mean, it's about as low as it's going to go. That's the most humbling, humiliating testimony to man's frailty and, you know, that our life is but a vapor, is death. And part of God's plan, part of God's purpose is for Jesus Christ to die. And as such, to go to the place of the dead, to go to hell. And in that, he is accomplishing something. Keep your hand here in Acts, because we're going to come back right here. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they what? Would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This wisdom of God in a mystery, that through death, through the most humbling, humiliating experience you can have, through death can come victory. And that death is a part of God's eternal purpose and plan for Christ Jesus. Paul says, you know, that's a part of the mystery. I speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a part of the hidden wisdom. When did God ordain this hidden wisdom?
Before the world.
Before the world. How long is the plan? It's longer than the earth. Before the world, he ordained this. But none of the princes of this world knew it.
Why not? Because it was a secret, a mystery, not revealed to the sons of men, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. And if they had known this mystery, if they had known that the death of Christ was the key, then they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So now we know why didn't he tell Job? Was Job a good and faithful servant? Sure was. So why didn't he tell Job what he was going to do out here? It was a secret. Why was it a secret? Because I can't let the enemy know what the plan is. You know, when a general goes to battle, he may have a secret plan, but can he tell all the troops maybe about that right away? No, you know, there's this thing called need to know. What you need to know, you know, and what you don't know, you don't know. What don't need to know, figure it out for yourself. And Job, although a faithful servant of God, didn't know. He didn't need to know what God was. In fact, he couldn't know, because if he knew, then the princes of this world would know. And if the princes of this world knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And if they didn't crucify the Lord of glory, then God's plan, that plan, wouldn't have worked. So I'm going to keep it secret. And God confounded Satan, confounded the wisdom of the wise, by simply keeping part of his plan secret. And therefore they crucified the Lord of glory. And therefore he tasted of death for us. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And God's plan and God's purpose went to the lowest hell, the place of the dead, because it involved death, the death of his son. But if you look back there in Acts chapter 2, Peter's message, and then when we get to Paul, Peter's message is, verse 31, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So, he's alive again. He's raised up. Yes, he went to hell, but now he's alive again. Peter said, we saw him. He walked here on the earth. We saw him ascend up into the clouds. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul continues that ascent. Paul adds some information to that ascent. Verse number 8, wherefore he saith of Ephesians 4, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He led captive the people from the place of the dead, those in paradise. Paradise is now in the third heaven, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, was it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So how far did Peter said he's raised from the dead, he's here on the earth, we all witnessed it, and we saw him going up in the clouds. How far did he go? Above all heavens. So it's, Job says, it's higher than the heavens. Yeah, it is. And who is it that tells you how high? It's Paul right here. Paul says, you know what? He descended into the lower parts of the earth because he tasted of death. But now he that descended is the same also that has ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 20, talking about God's power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So now, do you know the heights of God's plan? Yeah. It's above all. Jesus Christ is ascended up far above all heavens. That same Jesus that tasted of death and went to the place of the dead and descended into hell, the lowest point, is that same Jesus that rose from the dead, not only to walk on the earth, not only to ascend up into the heavens to rule the earth and to return to take vengeance on the earth, but also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might be the head over all heavens, the head of all principality and power and might and dominion, to the church, which is his body, which is us, which is something that Job never knew about. He never knew about the church, the body of Christ. He never knew about taking dominion and authority in the heavenly places until Paul makes known the unsearchable riches of Christ and the fellowship of the mystery to the Gentiles. And Paul says, I want you to comprehend, and once you comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, you will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And what Job's tormentor said, you can't search out God. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you the unsearchable things of God. You know, and it's interesting to me, there's two passages of Scripture written thousands of years apart. You know, Job's writing at the very beginning, probably before Moses, before any of that, Job is writing. Paul's writing after the death of Christ. And Job's writing in Hebrew, and Paul's writing in Greek. And we sit down today, 2,000 years later, and we read it, and we say, you know, here's a verse in Job that says that you can't search out God. Then we go to Ephesians 3, and we read a verse that says, I'm going to tell you the unsearchable things about God. You say, how did that happen? How did that happen? Now, when the King James translators sat down and translated Job, and remember, one group translated Job and a whole other bunch of guys translated Ephesians, did they understand what we understand the significance of that connection is? Probably not. Maybe not. Maybe they did. I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that the accuracy of what they did is such that I can sit here today in 2012 and look at those two verses and say, wow. Look what God had in mind all along. Look at what He was doing. Look at what His purpose was. And look at how that purpose and who God is perfectly revealed for me in the pages of a book. See, that's why things like that are why I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Because you don't do that kind of stuff accidentally. It's got to be in the design of the book for it to happen that way. That Job is being asked the question, canst thou by searching find out God? And Job never heard the word search, because that's an English word. That's a 20th century English word. And Paul never heard the word search, because that's a 20th century English word, or, you know, 16th century English word, I guess. So, search, okay. But there it is. God is unsearchable. I'm going to tell you the unsearchable things. And not only that, you know why He's unsearchable? Because He's too high, He's too deep, He's too broad, and He's too long. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you the unsearchable. And when I do that, you know what you're going to understand? How high, how deep, how broad, how long. Wow. How did that all happen? It's almost like somebody designed the book that way, isn't it? Yeah, it's almost that way. It's easier for me, when you see things like that, it's easier for me to believe there's a design in this book than to believe it's accidental. It strains the whatever to think that just all happened that way. Just like when you look at creation. You know, it's much easier for me to believe that a God that I never saw designed all that than to believe that it just got dumped out and happened. You know, what is that? It takes much more faith to believe the second than the first. And the same is true with God's Word. It takes much more faith to believe it's just another book than to believe it is what it says it is, the Word of God. And in that book is revealed who God is and what His purpose is. And if we will but search the book, then we'll know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And we'll comprehend and we'll know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and we will understand how He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think in our frail minds. According to the, and that power that did that, Paul says in verse 20, works where? In us. In us. And that's the truth of the matter. As that book resides in you, God's power resides in you and works in you. And you can know Him and the love of Christ. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He did reveal Himself in the pages of a book, and that we, through searching that book, can in fact search out God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.